Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 21. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Now let's sing Psalter, verse 118. I would like to ask you to read again with me in Luke chapter 8, just verses 15, 18, and 21. Although we'll do it after we sing Psalter 209, stanza. I ask you again then to turn with me to Luke chapter 8, and we will read specifically verses 15, 18, and 21. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Verse 18, Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Verse 21, And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Dear congregation, you need to remember that the preaching of God's word is a matter of supreme importance for your souls. Every time the God word is open before us, our whole lives literally hang from our ears. The supernatural and divine qualities of God's word lead us to expect that every time His word is put on a pulpit and is expounded to us, those supernatural qualities should cause in us admiration, awe, and a very special attention. Every time God's word is preached, God has a specific, particular word for each person, from the one who sits here to the one who sits there, and from the one who sits here to the one who sits right in the back part. The word of God has a particular message for each one of us. Obviously, that message is grounded on the text to be preached. During the faithful exposition of God's word, every single church attendant is addressed by the Lord. Depending on the text, the word of God will bring to us exhortation, comfort, perhaps, reproof, encouragement, correction, or instruction. But all of us partake actively in the preaching of the word of God. For that reason, we must listen to the word with careful attention, as I already said to you. Richard Baxter, the Puritan, said, "If a sleepy, careless preacher is bad, a sleepy, careless hearer is not good." As in the age of the Puritans, we must believe in preaching. We must believe that through the preaching of God's word, the Lord will address us, our needs, encouragement, different kind of things that we are in need of. The Lord will address those every time His word is expounded. Every time we attend church, we must believe in the holy exercise of the preaching of the word. As Hebrews 11:6 says, "For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." It is interesting that when the Puritans talked about going to church, they didn't relate the church to a building. They asked each other, "Are you going to the Word today? Are you going to the Word tomorrow?" They did not relate the church to a building, but to the Scriptures. We need to expect that when this word is expounded, our lives will be greatly blessed, exhorted, guided, examined, and transformed. Through this sermon, we will learn practical insights about the exercise of hearing the word of God. May the Lord bless us as we try to learn how to hear the word of God. The title of this sermon is "Be Careful How You Hear," although in other words it can be expressed, "Take heed how you hear the word of God," which is in our verse of Luke 8, verse 18. Let's analyze the hearing of the word of God under 3 points. The first point is prepare the soil for the word. Prepare the soil for the word. When a multitude gathered around Jesus, we see this in Luke 8, verse 4, He spoke by a parable. In these verses, Jesus told the story of a sower who threw the seeds, and these fell into different type of soils, as we see from verses 5 to 8. The soils are the wayside, the rock, the soil among thorns, and the good ground. The behavior or the fruit of the seed would depend on the type of soil that the seed fell upon. The disciples did not initially understand the parable, so they asked Jesus, as we see in verse 9. And after revealing the purpose in using parables, the Lord Jesus explained what the parable consisted on. The seed is the word of God, and the types of soils are representing four different categories of hearers. The importance of hearing the word of God can be evidenced because of the enmity that is exerted or posed against the word. We will see this here, and it is a truth that we find from the next verses, and it is that the enemy of God is the enemy of the word of God. In verse 12, for example, we have the ones who hear the word, but then the devil comes and takes away the seed out of their hearts in order to keep these hearers from believing and being saved. In this specific case, the activity of Satan is located after the seed is planted in the heart of the person. Let me illustrate this with the following story. One day there were two young preachers, and they were talking about the preaching of the word, and one posed the question, when do you think the devil is active the most? When do you think the devil is active the most? One young preacher said, I think he's active the most in the week previous to the preaching of the word. A lot of distractions and issues are brought into the life of the minister or the preacher in order to keep him to have a good preparation of the sermon. And as a consequence, that preacher will have a poor presentation of the sermon. But then the other young preacher said, you know what? I think the devil is active the most when the word is being preached. Different kind of distractions are brought to the mind of the preacher, but also to the minds of the hearers. Satan opposes both in the preacher and the hearer, and he wants to bring the preaching of the word of God unfruitful. However, another person got close to them. It was a church attendant. And the church attendant said, you know what? The devil is active the most after you have preached, when we have to bring this sermon or this word to our hearts, and when we need to put it into practice. So the devil is constantly opposing the preaching in different grounds. Here we saw in verse 12 that he steals the seed after this is put in the heart of the hearer. So don't get surprised if you hear a sermon and you try to bring it into practice. Don't get surprised of the different kind of oppositions that you will face. God's word, then, is powerful, but at the same time, it faces a lot of opposition. In verse 13, we have the hearers who receive the word with joy, but in this case, the word has no root. The seed has no root. They believe for a while, but in time of temptation, the word falls away. In this particular case, the enemy that the Christian faces when tries to keep the word of God is not the devil directly. It's his own flesh. As James 1:14 says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Not only Satan hinders the hearing of the word of God, our own flesh is also an obstacle for the uprooting of the word of God in our own hearts. Actually, the Greek word for temptation can imply a test or trial as well. So when the person who has received the word is tried, is put to the test, the seed of the word fades away. Why? Because it didn't have any kind of roots. Now in verse 14, we find hearers whose desire for the things of this world doesn't allow the seed to bear fruit. It is interesting to note the expression go out. When they go out, that's what you do. That's what we do after hearing the word. We go out of the church. What happens after that? When they go out, the cares, riches, and pleasures of this world are awaiting for them, for this hearer, to leave the church. And once the hearer leaves the church, the world hunts the seed that was planted in your heart. The world is also suppressing the word of God as it is preached, heard, and kept by the hearers. Now, a question arises from this text. What kind of soil are you? What kind of ground are you? Are you the forgetful hearer whose seed is the food of the birds? Are you the hearer whose heart is like a bunch of dry leaves that when they burn, they consume fast and easily? Are you the hearer that when church is over, nothing but this world is the center of your mind? Most of us consider ourselves to be the kind of soil that keeps the word and bears good fruit. Most of us consider ourselves as the category defined in verse 15. Isn't it true? The verse 15 is a characteristic of a hearer that, first of all, has been born again. The only way in which a person can have a noble and a good heart is after the regeneration. Even though an unbeliever can learn the scriptures by memory, even though an unbeliever can manifest a joyful reception of the word, and even though an unbeliever can read the Psalms in the middle of tribulation, only the seed of the word of God in the heart of a Christian can overcome the devil, the flesh, and the world. If you have not been born again, then your soul is constantly deprived from the seed that Sunday after Sunday is planted in your heart. Perhaps you try to retain the word, but you helplessly see the devil stealing the word from your soul. Well, my friend, you need Jesus, and you need him now. Jesus is the only one who can bind Satan, the strong man. And Jesus can plunder from Satan all the seeds that he has stolen from your soul. Go and ask Jesus to set you free. Go and ask Jesus to give you freedom from Satan's bondage. Repent from your sins and cry out to Jesus. Ask him, Lord, bind the devil. Do not allow him to steal the word that has eternal importance in my life. Go to Jesus and ask him to help you to be a good soil that can bear a good fruit. If you have really been born again, then you must examine your heart also. You must examine your life in the light of these verses. Is the word of God still planted in your heart after trials? Are the promises of God sustaining your soul in the middle of trial? On the other hand, you can be surviving the trials. You can be surviving affliction. But let me ask this question. Is the word of God fruitless in your life? Is the word of God fruitless because of the cares of this world that lay in your heart? May the Lord help us to defeat all the enemies that are involved in the hearing of the word of God. May the Lord make that seed bear a good fruit for the glory of his name. Let me give you some practical suggestions for you to hear the Word of God and get profit from it. Maybe you have already heard this, but it's a good thing to remember this. The agricultural framework or context gives us a good clue in this case. In the agricultural environment, it is common for people to plant different kinds of seeds in order to get different kinds of fruits. However, many years ago, it was obvious that after harvesting one specific fruit, the soil had to be prepared in order to bring a different seed. Now there's a lot of machinery and technology, and this can be done faster. But many years ago, according to the seed that was going to be planted, the soil needed to have a special and specific preparation that could guarantee a good fruit and a good growth of that seed. So what's the best way to keep the Word of God? To prepare the ground where the Word will be put. Prepare the whole Lord's Day. Get yourself prepared for the Lord's Day. Prepare your heart through prayer as you see that the Lord's Day is coming, and go before the Lord and ask, "Please, Lord, give me rest the day before. Give me attention as I am listening to your word. Go to bed early the day before. That way, you will have all your attention, your concentration, and your energy as you are listening to the word." Remember the quote that we mentioned just minutes ago from Baxter. If a sleepy, careless preacher is bad, a sleepy, careless hearer is not good. Remind to your own soul how important the preaching of the Word of God is for you. Also, review the sermon when you go home. Don't let that seed get lost so easily. Review the sermon. Take notes if it helps you to do so. But don't let the notes die in oblivion. Take those notes, review them, and that way you will be able to remember more easily. Examine your life in the light of the passage that you heard. Once you start meditating in the sermon, you will start getting it deeper and deeper and deeper. The Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 21, article 8. There we read that this Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe an holy rest all day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taking up the whole time in the public and private exercises of worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy. This article of the Westminster Confession of Faith poses a lot of importance in the previous time before you hear the word, in the preparation that you need to do previously to the day of the Lord. Now, apart from a seed that is planted in the heart, Jesus also employs the illustration of a lamp which leads the way of the believer. We not only have to prepare our hearts for the seed, but we must fix our eyes in the Word and follow its light. We'll move then to our second subheading, our second point. Our first one was prepare the soil for the Word. And now we move to follow the light of the Word. In the same context of hearing the Word of God, Luke records that the Lord Jesus goes from a seed to a lamp. Similarly, as a seed is not to be choked with worries, with pleasures of this world, a lamp shouldn't be put under something that covers the light that the lamp projects. The purpose of the lamp is to illumine the way through with the trajectory of its beam. And in verse 16, we see that a reasonable action for a person is not to cover a lamp when it is performing the duty of showing the way to those who come in. The verb covers, which expresses what people should not do with a lamp, is the Greek word kalypto, which is related to the book of Revelation, Apocalypse. And what the word cover is saying here is totally the opposite of what the Word of God is. The Word of God was meant for us to reveal, to illumine, and we should not cover the Word of God. As in the case of the book of Revelation, as we saw, a cover was removed, and a revelation from the Lord came to John. So the purpose of the Word is to reveal, is to illumine, is to shine the way, to show the way to the Lord. So a lamp shouldn't be put under something that keeps it from shining. Such word conveys the sense that a lamp should not be hidden, but a lamp should be put in visible places, since its purpose is to reveal the things that are hidden to the human soul. The Word of God must be preached, communicated, proclaimed. The Word of God is a lamp whose light all must see. Also, the purpose of removing the hydrances from the lamp to shine is that it may show the way. As the end of the verse shows, those who come in need a light to guide their steps. Think of a lighthouse. A lighthouse is a high tower equipped with a bright light and lenses on the top that help guide ships at night and alert sailors about sandbars, reefs, and rocky coastlines. At night, the beacon lights up when everything around is dark. The light projected by the lighthouse works as a flashlight and allows boats and ships to sight from afar where the land is. Likewise, the supremacy of the Word of God must be proclaimed. The preeminence of the Scriptures must be affirmed and declared. The pure preaching of the Word of God and the Word of God alone must be held very high. That is the only way in which the shipwrecked souls can see the light. That is the only way in which those who have lost the way and have immersed themselves in darkness can find the way out of it. As a wrecked ship finds his way to land by the lighthouse, a dead sinner finds life by hearing and seeing the light of the Word of God. In this case, we see the light as a guiding aspect. We are seeing a guiding aspect of the Word of God. Every single Sunday that we come to church, the Lord is guiding our lives. He is providing guidance for our lives. Do you have a decision that is hard to make and you don't know what to do? Come to hear the Word of God, believing that the Lord will show the way. Do you know what to do with some specific issue or problem? Come to church and hear and pay attention to the Word of God. He will show the way. The Lord knows everything we're going through right now. And that, according to that, and with the purpose of dealing with that, he inspires his servants to bring his word and to guide his people. Come to church with the purpose of see the light of the word and follow it. As Christians, we make hundreds of decisions on a daily basis. Different kind of decisions have different kind of consequences. because decisions are important. Some are more important than others. But there are decisions that are more simple than others. But we need to come with the understanding that the Lord is omniscient, as we saw in the morning. The Lord is all wise. The Lord is sovereign on our own lives. Therefore, it is also true that every single moment of our lives, He is aware of everything in them. He is aware of everything in our lives. We must think, then, that every time His word is preached at the church, the Lord is providing guidance for our lives. That message is timely and applied to every single one of our circumstances or situations. If the word is being preached, the way is being shown. As in Isaiah 30, verse 21, your eyes will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. The way in which the lamp reveals the way for those who come in is by manifesting the things that the darkness hides. As those who come in get close to the lamp, they are able to see things that were hidden by the darkness. Also, the different objects that we could stumble against. In that sense, the lamp of the Word of God brings light to those things that cannot be perceived while being in the darkness. The verb cover, which is used in verse 16, is used also by Jesus to show what someone shouldn't do with a lamp. Then, when hearing the word of God, the listener will not be able to see the right way if he doesn't listen clearly to the word of God. But the word not only wants to reveal the things that are before us, in our way, the word of God is a light that also reveals the darkness that lies within our own hearts. The audience of the preached Bible, in whose hearts the Spirit of God is at work, will be able to see what lies in them behind the darkness. Thus, the preaching of the Word of God will allow you to know also the secret places of your soul. Or better, the Word of God will reveal to yourself things that you are hiding, things that you are throwing to the secret places of your soul. What Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Is the word of God being active, alive, sharp and piercing in your own soul? Does this happen to you as you listen to it? Let me give you also some advices in regard to this point. Remember then, believe in preaching. Believe that the Lord is going to guide you as you hear His word. You need to believe that preaching is as an instrument that the Lord uses to guide His flock, His people. God uses preaching to fulfill His purposes. And among those purposes are your spiritual provision, your growing in faith, but also your guidance. God is aware of your needs, anxieties, and fears. God is also aware of the sins that you struggle with. Those that you long for freedom about, those sins that keep you with your head down, those sins that humble you, those sins that make you think, if I am a son of God, why I can find freedom, The Lord is aware of that. And every time He opens His Word, He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you provision for you to fight against those sins. He's going to give you freedom through the power of His Word. Ask the following questions. What is God teaching me today? Every time the Word of God is preached, we learn something. So what is the Lord teaching me today? Make sure you learn it well. How is God giving me a reproof today, for example? What is it that I am not pleasing God with? What is it that I need to get rid of? What is it that I believed, but I was wrong on that? Sometimes that happens to us. When we hear the word and the text is explained, we become aware, oh, I was mistaken in the way I was thinking about this passage. But thanks to God that He allows us to correct those misunderstandings. How has God equipped you today that you may walk in righteousness and glorify His name? Now, Jesus finished His parables, but He had not finished addressing the theme of hearing the word. After seeing the need of getting our hearts prepared and the leading aspect of the word, now we enter into the practical implications required from the hearer of God's word. Remember then that in order to hear the word of God, we need to prepare our hearts, prepare the soul of the seed. We need to follow the light that the word provides for us. But thirdly, we need to be doers of God's word. That's our third point. Be a doer of the word. In the middle of the teaching of Jesus, His mother and brothers came to Him, but they could not get close. And after He was told, He replied to all the crowd, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." By affirming this, Jesus then expresses that His closest bonds at an earthly level, His closest relationships at an earthly level, are with those who hear and do the word of God. Those who hear and obey the word of God. The Westminster Larger Catechism has in the question 160, what is required of those that hear the word preached? The answer is, it is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the scriptures. Receive the truth in faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. Meditate and comfort of it or speak about it. Hide it in their hearts and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. This is a very complete answer to how a person needs to hear the word of God. We need to attend upon it with diligence. We need to come here with a due preparation. We need prayer also because of all the spiritual dynamics around the hearing of the word of God. We need to examine our hearts concerning what we learn about the scriptures. We need to receive the truth with faith, as we saw in Hebrews 11:6. We need to come with love, as we saw in the morning. We need to come with meekness because we need to come humble in order for the word to do its work in our hearts. We need to come with readiness of mind. We need to be ready in our minds for what we came to do, to hear the word of God, to worship the Lord. We need to meditate. We need to conversate about the word, comfort of it, and we need to hide it in our hearts so Satan doesn't steal the seed from them. Finally, we need to bring forth the fruit of it in our lives. This is perhaps the hardest struggle for all of us after listening to the word of God. Hearing the word It's a very comfortable place where to be. You're hearing. You're just hearing. But we come to church and we listen to the word. And that way, perhaps our religious conscience is appeased. However, every sermon has a call of duty for the Christian. Every sermon requires faith and obedience from us. Every sermon requires application from you. And this happens most often when no church member is looking at us. The application of God's word takes place when I am at home after the service. The application of God's word takes place when I am in my workplace. The application of God's word takes place when I am in the streets, living in the world. A sermon needs to be taken to life in a home, in a workplace, in your study place, in your high school, in your elementary school. You need to apply the word everywhere you go. It's not only about the building of the church. Something sad happened to the prophet Ezekiel in regard to how the people would hear the word of God through him. In Ezekiel 33, verses 30 to 33, we read, God is saying this to the prophet. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they shew much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasing voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this come to pass, lo, it will come, they shall know that a prophet has been given among them. Are you one of those kind of hearers that say the preacher is extremely eloquent, he is very good in speaking, but you don't do the words that the Lord brings through the preacher? Are you the kind of hearers that like the good style of a preacher, or you feel comfortable with a person who gives you comfort and never exhorts you to do anything? Or a person or a preacher who never rebukes? Thanks to God, it doesn't commonly happen at HRC churches. But what is your role as you are listening to the word? We trust that God is raising men who trace the word well. But what are you doing as a hearer? What are you doing as a hearer of the word of God? As James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. May the Lord help us and assist us through his divine spirit. We do not want to be hearers only. We want to be doers of the word of God. Finally, Richard Baxter has some practical suggestions on how to hear the word of God, and I will share with you just a little bit of them. This will help you to hear and to take profit from it. Number one, live under the most convincing, lively, serious preacher that you possibly can. Far from being a boasting again, we should thank God that HRC churches fear God and his word. I would say that an HRC hearer lives under a serious preaching. But don't stay just there. Be a doer of the word. Number two, make it your work with diligence to apply the word as you are hearing it, and to work your own heart to those suitable resolutions and affections which it speaks to you. Come to the church in order to diligently hear and apply the word in your own heart and to your particular circumstances as well. Set godly resolutions and ask the Lord for help. I think it is appropriate to begin our worship by confessing that our help is in the name of the Lord. And He is not only our help to hear, He is also our help to bring this word into practice. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Remember that God is instructing you, number three, and warning you, and treating with you about no less than the saving of your souls. The things that you expose your ears to when you hear the word of God are things of eternal importance. Number four, be acquainted with the failings of your heart and life, and come on purpose to get direction and help against those particular failings. We already mentioned this. Come to the church being aware of your weaknesses, being aware of the sins that you have to struggle the hardest, being aware of your fears. But come to hear, hoping that the Lord will give you help. Know what duties you omit carelessly. Know what are the duties that the Lord commands you to do, and maybe you struggle to do. Come with those in mind, asking for help to the Lord. Know what sins you are most guilty of, and say when you go out of doors, I go to Christ for physic, for my own disease. In other words, come to Christ as if you were coming to see a doctor who will help you to treat your disease. Number five, when you understand what is the point of practice that the preacher drives at, observe especially the uses and moving reasons and plead them with your own hearts, and let your conscience be preaching over all that the minister preached to you. So when you hear, you also need to learn what is the argument that is being done from the text. What are the reasons that are used to bring this argument to your ears? Pay attention to that. Try to remember that. Make efforts while you listen to the word of God. Actively engage yourself while listening to the word. Identify the preacher's main idea. Identify how he drew this idea. And then pay attention to the reasons for and applications he gives to that particular truth. Put them in your heart and make your conscience repeat the sermon to your soul. Finally, number six, above all, set your hearts to the deepest contemplations of the wonderful love of God in Christ and the sweetness and excellency of a holy life and the certain incomprehensible glory which it tends to, that your souls may be in love with your dear Redeemer, and all that is holy and love of obedience may be natural to you. Brethren, may the Lord help us as we try to hear the word of God in order to keep it, to follow it, and to do it. Amen.